Well, as we said this morning, it's the start of the Advent season. This is Advent Sunday. Simply means arrival or appearing. And we stand in between those two great Advents, don't we? We look back with thankfulness to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Saviour. We rejoice over that. But we look forward to his appearing. And what will that be when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again? We see the signs, and so there should be a sense of expectancy as we look forward to his appearing. The King is coming. Of course, the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, where whenever Jesus Christ comes to a person, there the kingdom of God comes. Something of God comes into a life, and all around the world today, the kingdom of God is coming, and there is that that progression, and that expectancy. I wonder if there is still expectancy in our prayers. I was praying just now, for myself as well as for you, for that faith that brings heaven down. You know, I look back to my earlier days. Am I still as expectant now as I was when I first burst into the kingdom of God? Everything was new. To be a child of God. And yet, time goes by and we can settle down and we forget the wonders of the fact that God has given to us this tremendous, well, prayer is a weapon, we can say, but it's a facility. It's a tool for opening heaven's gates and bringing blessing down to here. And God has put that in our hands. God does nothing except in answer to prayer, I think it was Wesley said. But, you know, God can do anything. He's the sovereign Lord, as we were saying this morning, the sovereign God in providence, and yet he uses you and I to pray. Well, the King is coming. Lord, thy kingdom come. We're going to have a look at man today. And I find Zechariah here encouraging. This is Luke 1, 5 to 25. I've called this the shock of answered prayer. You know, we pray for things. and yet, you know, sometimes our unbelief can be so massive that we don't even realize that our prayer has been heard and answered. So the shock of answered prayer. And we're going to look at a godly man, but really, he had lost his faith and expectancy. That might be you tonight. You're a believer, but somehow things are burning low and you don't really expect. Do you expect God to bless you? You've come tonight. Do you expect God to really bless you? Do you? I hope so. But we should come tonight thinking, God, meet with me. I know as that might mellow you up, but look, despite him, will you bless me tonight? Will you come as we meet together? Who knows what God might do for you, to you tonight? Because you've come. You're here. And so we can lose that faith and expectancy. And here is an example in Luke chapter 1. So just to start, we're introduced here in Luke 1 to this godly couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Let me just read verse 6. Both of them, that's Zechariah and Elizabeth, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. So that's their character. Now, the context here, which makes their faith all the more marvelous, is that these were dark days. There was no word from God, no prophetic word from God. The Old Testament ends with Malachi. There have been 400 silent years. 400 years. No word from God. And religion had become nominal, often corrupt. And yet we can see it, no matter how dark the day, God always has those who are faithful to him. He always has a witness. There are always those in the darkest days whose light is shining and burning. So here is this faithful couple. But we see in verse 7, there's a sadness. that hangs over them. But, here's this godly couple, upright in the sight of God, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well on in years. I just to think of that for a moment, a childless couple. And there are those who choose not to have children, but there are those who are unable to have children. And I think maybe, you know, again, maybe in a church setting, it can be possible that we're insensitive towards such situations. We may say insensitive things or maybe hurtful things to a childless couple without realizing it. We wouldn't intend to hurt anyone. And I think that childless couples are always under pressure to explain themselves, you know, why they don't have children. And sometimes when in a fellowship, news breaks of a couple having a child. Maybe they inwardly think, well, that's wonderful, but why not us, Lord? Why not us? And so this is the shadow that hung over them. Godly couple, and yet there is that heaviness of heart. Maybe others didn't notice, or certainly didn't enter into their heaviness. But anyway, despite this, despite the cloud, they continued to be faithful to God. They carried on loving him, serving him. Zechariah continues his work as a priest. But then, out of the blue, when he's performing his duties, offering incense, there is a visitor comes and brings this most incredible message. Verse 11, then the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. I think it's significant that we notice when God actually met with him. And that's when Zechariah was just faithfully going about his work. You know, just another day, humdrum day perhaps, although a great privilege he had. But do you ever get those days? You just have one of those days and it is just one more of the same. And so he's going about his work when this visitor comes, faithfully doing what he should be doing, when God sends this messenger from heaven. We think, you know, in other passages in the scripture, where when God meets with people, with individuals, we think of Moses and David tending the sheep, where God breaks in to their lives, an unexpected day. Gideon threshing wheat. Peter and his companions just with their nets, mending their nets, and their lives change forever. So, you know, there should be no ordinary day for us. Every day we should be saying, I wonder what might happen today. I wonder if this might be a day when God breaks into my life in a new way. That expectancy, as I say. But we go on. You know, we keep faithfully doing what has God given you to do. Well, carry on doing it. It doesn't seem sensational. It doesn't seem earth-shaking. But you faithfully go on day by day. That's how churches go, isn't it? Most often church life is boring, if we're honest. You know, it isn't sensational. It isn't a miracle a minute. We just keep going on, don't we? And yet some days are brighter days. But you know, there is a heaven and there is a reward to come. But God might well break into our situation in a new way today. Well, here is Zechariah anyway. And but what we see really and what he's presented with is his failure. And Zechariah, what is brought to his attention is that he really didn't expect God to answer not just his prayers, but as a couple, their prayers together. Verse 13, your prayer has been heard, he's told. How often do you pray? And we tend to pray, and we maybe got a list, maybe we haven't got a list, but we're not really, we don't really think God's hearing. You know, they're only my prayers, aren't they, after all? But do you really think God is interested in your prayers? Do you really think that there's a God in heaven who loves you, is interested in you, who wants to use you, break into your life or break into someone's life through you? It's a battle, isn't it? I battle every day with this, battle with unbelief. So here is Zechariah. But the God of heaven has been listening. God in heaven, the glorious God in heaven, who spoke creation into being, listening to you, listening to your voice, loving you, waiting for you. What will you ask of me today? What will you thank me for today? Just the speaking a word and, Lord, you're hearing this word here, you're hearing this. And so God had been listening to the prayers of this godly couple. And admittedly, the answer was much greater than he could ever have expected. Not only would they have a son, but he would be a prophet. And not just any prophet. He would be God's mighty messenger, the herald for the very Messiah himself. And, well, this is just too much for Zechariah to accept. Where should we go from? Well, verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years. Well, this messenger, this angel, the mighty Gabriel, he's rightfully indignant. Verse 19, the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And so this response from Zechariah, it is sheer unbelief. Unbelief, of course, is sin. And so, you know, isn't this a battle, saints, day after day? Don't we battle with this? We come to our prayers. I don't know what your routine is, but I get them in the morning. I would love to say that I bounce out of the bed, spring into praise, but I drag myself out and I feel my way to the kettle in the morning with one eye open. And I think, if I can just have some caffeine, Lord, to help me. So I get my cup of tea. So I sit down with my cup of tea and I get my Bible out. And so I start off and, Lord, help me. And so I read over this. I've missed that. I must read over that again. So, folks, isn't it a battle? Don't we? Isn't the battle? We're fighting. We're fighting for faith. We're fighting for joy. We're fighting for reality. But I know this is the way. This is the way to happiness. This is the way to blessing. And so but every new day. But you know, so I'm speaking to myself. Look, Mike, get some faith here. Do you believe what you're praying? But often it's this battle, this awful battle with unbelief. But God comes, and this is what we're praying for. We're praying for a spirit of faith. Will you give? I do believe, but help my unbelief. Will you come and give me faith, Lord? You see me here. Will you help me to believe what I'm saying? Will you give me prayers to pray? Someone said that faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, receives the impossible. And I think these are days, especially with us in the UK, where we're tempted to be much too gloomy. And it's good that we're informed, and it's good that we get the news, even though it's bad, and we see our nation sliding down. But, you know, we can go into gloom. Instead of thinking, God has placed us here for this moment. You know, God has brought us into the kingdom at this time to shine for him and to lay hold of him. Well, anyway, there's a sharp response here to Zechariah's unbelief. If you look at verse 20, and now this is Gabriel. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. So he's struck dumb. He's most probably struck deaf too. We're told at the naming of the child in verse 62 that they had to make signs to him. So it seems like he was dumb and deaf. No doubt he would have completed his week of ministry in the temple, then would have rushed home to share the news with his wife Elizabeth. But because of his unbelief, God gives him this personal sign. No doubt one he would rather not have had, but he had 9 months of this silence. How would you like that? How would you like to be silent for 9 months? I think I'll leave it there before you might be praying for someone to be silent for 9 months. But, you know, but the frustration of it, there's a frustration that you have, but that this was it. This was because of his unbelief, struck dumb. But it's unbelief. Unbelief is a serious sin. I think we need to realize this. Unbelief, it's refusing to believe God. There's a rebelliousness here in his heart. This is so different to Mary's response, of course, isn't it? Who was querying how this would come about. But here is Zechariah, and God knows our hearts, and here is the angel. He rebukes him. This is sin. Matthew Henry says unbelief is the root of all our failing to believe the promises of God. We have all the promises of God, but unbelief says, really? Really? So don't we battle this every day? You know, we come to God's word, and again, this is we're fighting for this. We get the scriptures open, and we pray that God will do something. But don't you feel it does something to you? You know, we get up in the morning, we need to start the day. I need to hear God's voice before I hear any other voice, before it all comes pouring in. Lord, what have you got to say? What's your take on this world? What's your take on my life? Let's get everything in perspective. So we go to the word of God. Lord, speak to me. Give me a spirit of faith to believe this, to obey this, to enjoy this. And so in these dark days, I think we need to be people of faith and expectancy. That's why we meet together, isn't it? You know, we stir one another up. There's something special. Prayer is easier when we're together. It's God's way, isn't it? He brings us together and we stir one another up, and one person's down and he's lifted up, and so we're here and we enjoy each other's presence, and we come to meet together in God's presence. Well, it is Advent, as I say, and the Saviour has come, but he's coming again. So we need to see all the events that are happening in the world in the light of our Saviour's imminent return. The Lord is coming. The Lord is near. But these are gospel days. Got this incredible message, a message of hope for the hopeless, life for the dead. I don't know how people manage. You know, we hear brave souls sharing their battle with cancer. You know, we get these on our morning programs, and they're sharing their cancer and their motor neurone disease and the disappointments, the break, the relationship breakup. How do people manage? They all just get it from within yourself. You can do this and believe in yourself and all these awful things. Whereas we have this glorious message. There's a God who can come into your life, change you, be with you, take you to heaven when you die. What an incredible message we have. These are gospel days, and God has given you this tremendous message. Well, we'll draw to a close and fast forward, because the time arrives when his tongue is loosed. And so from verse 57, it is a happy ending. We like happy endings. And as promised, Elizabeth gives birth to their long-awaited son, and all the friends and neighbours gather, and we sense the atmosphere. Verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was on him. And then we have spirit-filled song from Zechariah from verse 67. A tremendous prophecy concerning the one that their son would announce, that the long-awaited Messiah. Back in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Well, what an event. God breaking in to their lives unexpectedly. And who could have imagined that? And do you think that Zechariah now believed more in prayer, that God hears prayer and answers prayer? Do you think he trusted God more now? What are you praying for now? Is there something that you're really struggling with in prayer? And it's something you long to have answered, but there just seems no movement at all. Is it possible God could answer your prayer? Is he listening? Is he able to change our situations? And waiting is hard, isn't it? In a kind of I need it now age. Do you find waiting hard? Some of you are very patient. I know. You know, some people are patient by nature. Others of us are impulsive and compulsive, and some say of me repulsive. I've got all the pulsives, I'm afraid. But waiting, isn't waiting hard? But it's part of God's way with us, isn't it? Part of God's dealing. Do you trust me? Do you think I can do this? Do you think I can answer? Do you think there is a solution to what you're waiting for? Well, that's Zechariah, the man who really didn't expect God to answer his prayer. God answered anyway, the God of all grace. But just to close, really, I often try to read the lines or read between the lines here and imagine the sequel to this. So God answers their prayers. They have a child. They're rejoicing. They're given a glimpse into the ministry of their son. But they're a couple, and I guess they were a couple like any other couple, and they've got 9 months to catch up on. He's been silent for 9 months, a silent husband for 9 months. And just imagine the conversation. Well, Elizabeth says, well, go on, Zechariah, off you go then. You know, give me all the details. Well, what details? Well, you know, the angel came to you. What was he like? What did he say? What did we say exactly? I think ladies are the same, aren't they? You know, we say, well, you know, but all those details. But this couple now, surely their marriage was transformed. God had heard their prayer. All through those hard years, God was listening. Oh, folks, maybe you're struggling tonight. That there are hard times we go through. It's not that God isn't interested. It isn't that God's love is not flowing to you. But do you have faith? Are you trusting him through all the dark times, through the shadow that's hanging over you? This God in heaven, he hears our prayers. And who knows when he might just break in and do much more than we could ask or expect. Well, these are significant days, aren't they? And we should be expectant. We're waiting for the King to come. I saw a documentary a little while back, a fascinating documentary. It was on the preparation for the King's coronation, all that went into, all the arrangements that were being made, all to the finest detail, and all the planning and hard work, but the excitement that was there in the planning, the excitement and the expectancy. And you probably saw it on TV, and I don't know what part grabbed you, but for me it was the fanfare. They had these trumpeters lined up, and there's something about a trumpet sound. We're waiting for the trumpet sound, aren't we? What will that be when the trumpet sounds and the King comes? Is he really coming? Is he really coming soon? Well, we need that expectancy, don't we? But maybe just to close, what's on your heart? What thing has God given you? Has God placed something on your heart? And he expects some kind of response from you and from me. Well, may God give us that faith. It's a lovely season, Advent, isn't it? May this be a special season for you here. I see the posters up. You know, pray for your pastor. Pray for Joe and every one of you giving out leaflets. You know, but what might God do in these coming weeks? Might this be our last Advent, our last Christmas? Who knows? Might be your personally. Who will be the next one to leave us, saints? We don't know, do we? I shouldn't be thinking this. I look at a congregation and think, I wonder who's next. You know, should I have said that? No, but it's true, isn't it? Someone's going to be next. But we don't know. You think the oldest should be? We don't know. We don't know, do we? But if we're Christians, we can't lose whether the King comes or takes us home. What a privilege to belong to him. Well, let's pray now. Father in heaven, we read your word, and Lord, we've read this passage many times. But oh, for new faith, for a spirit of faith, Lord, in our hearts. As individuals, Lord, is there something you would place on our hearts? Something new, Lord, we could do for you. A new way we can serve you and serve others. And as a church here, Lord, we thank you for the way you have blessed this church and are blessing this church. And we thank you for each and every one. Thank you for them, Lord. You know them. Some with their great struggles still serve you. The heaviness on their heart, but still loving you, still loving others faithfully, week after week. And so we pray your blessing upon the pastor and the people here. Grant them, Lord, a real blessing in this Advent season, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.